And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com. Boy, have we got a great show for you tonight. We're coming in hot. By the way, tomorrow I'll be coming in hot on my radio program, 9 to 10 Eastern on Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Network. I'll be coming in hot. I got a lot to talk about tomorrow. If you don't know about our 5 hours of programming, that's right, 5 hours of programming. Of course, our flagship show, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time right here in Global Star on BTR and YouTube. Check it out. Global Star Radio and Blog Talk for the Hagmann, the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. That's from 9 to 10 Eastern AM. And then, of course, Joe and John from 2 to 3. But I'll be coming in hot tomorrow, and John and Joe, I'm sure the same thing. So much to talk about. But tonight, we've got a great show lined up for you. By the way, check out, for those people who are supporting us on Patreon, we've got Eric the Tech has been working like overtime. And the rollouts of the different levels.
Yeah, the different levels of rewards for
thank you.
People who decide to sponsor us via Patreon.
Thanks.
If you go to Hagmann Report Patreon, there you can see there's different things that you get for each level of donations. Like a $1 donation gets free background screensavers. The $10 donation gets Eric's working on a forum on a
I saw the forum. By the way, I can't wait. I do like the interaction. So, thank you, Eric the Tech, who built the forum from scratch, and it's amazing.
And then you have a 1 hour extra a month of broadcasting for the $25 level. So it's a great. We're just starting out, and Eric's continuing to build the different layers of the rewards, but sign up there and help us out. That's on Patreon on the Hagmann Report, and you can go to HagmannReport.com and go through it there. We have a great show lined up tonight. Again, Steve Quayle and Dane Wigington are going to be on. We're going to be talking about weather modification, weather wars, and prophecy. And while we're waiting to bring those on, some interesting new developments in the world of news. As we talked about before, in this recent wave of sexual assault and harassment allegations, many members of the media, as well as members in Hollywood and politics, there is a new accuser coming out against Al Franken today, as this latest accusation comes while he was actually a sitting senator, which is different from the previous accusation last week, where this was before he was a senator. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this. And the big one is Charlie Rose has been suspended by PBS and CBS after eight women have come forward to detail sexual harassment and assault, from lewd phone calls to flashing.
What is wrong with these people?
I don't know.
I'm serious about this.
Renee said before the show it has to have something to do with power as well.
I don't get this. I don't get this. I don't understand. Seriously, Joe.
It is crazy.
Lewd pictures? Is that?
No. Lewd phone calls, and on several different occasions when other reporters were meeting him in hotel rooms or his house, they were just detailing one on NBC Nightly News where he would be in his house and just getting out of the shower and would come out of the shower nude. This happened to more than one woman. And he would think that somehow that was going to, you know, help him to...
All right. And that's Charlie Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
And
you know, people laugh at me because I will never, ever, 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 ever be alone with any woman other than my wife. Okay. And I told you, this has been years. How many years have I said that?
Yeah, a long time.
I've said that for a long time because... first of all, you cannot afford the he said, she said, you can't afford the appearance of impropriety. I would never, ever. And that's Mike Pence, you know.
Yeah, it's a good policy to have.
In
this day and age, because I'm sure you have both. But people who are being accused, who have actually done things, and people who are, you know, being accused because people are trying to extort money or have a personal problem with the person.
What's wrong with these people? But seriously, what would it take for an innocent guy? I mean, think of the most innocent person, or a truly innocent person. What would it take, Joe? While we're waiting for the guests to come on,
we're good.
Yeah. All right, but I'll throw this question out there. What would it take for just an accusation, unfounded accusations, to really ruin someone's career? You cannot ring the bell that's been rung on that in an occasion like that.
Well, the only way you could get out of that is if you had an actual alibi, and it's provable that you never knew the person or were not with the person that when they said happened.
Look, I'm not even sure that would even matter anymore.
Well, not if the media picks it up. Not the way that they like to fan the flames.
Man.
And if you're a Christian conservative, you have no chance.
No chance
of coming back from it. If you're Al Franken, you have about a 50% chance.
Okay. Well, we do have our guests on with us. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Dane Wigington. You know, it's going to be a great show. Joe, I'm going to toss it to you to bring the guests on. We are on audio only this evening. So just bear that in mind. We can be seen on YouTube, and we'll superimpose the various images and screenshots in post-production. So go ahead, Joe. Bring everybody.
Yeah, with us we have Dane Wigington of GeoEngineerWatch.com and Steve Quayle from SteveQuayle.com. Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you bring in the show.
Well, thank you. It's a special time for me to be on with Dane Wigington. And by the way, it's Geoengineering Watch. It's EngineeringWatch.com. And ladies and gentlemen, this is probably the most critical broadcast, I feel, probably in the last couple years that you understand, in lieu of all the hurricane manipulation, all of the strange storms, all of the unusual hail, well, literally all hail, H-A-I-L, is breaking loose. And what I want you to understand is Dane has stood against the tide. He's been labeled, you know, fake news. And by the way, anytime you tell the truth, you're considered fake news. So what we have to do tonight, and by the grace of God, we'll do it, and by Dane's vast amount of research and basically pouring his life, his soul, and his entire being into this, is to get people to understand that geoengineering is an official policy of the U.S. government. There are 175 known patents concerning everything from Morgellons to weather modification to the HARP ionospheric heaters. It's all over. And Doug, you know, you probably know this, and just to put this into perspective, Dane, I think you've heard me say this before, but 20-some years ago when I started on talk radio starting about geoengineering, which resulted in the book I wrote called Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters, people could not even tear themselves away from the narrative that these were just condensation trails. So, ladies and gentlemen, even official science organizations openly support the notion now that severe weather events are created by people. It is the foundational narrative underpinning global warming and climate change. So I think you would, you know, when someone asked me, do you believe in man-made climate change? I said, I believe in man-made weather manipulation by all the major governments of the world, and everybody's at war with each other. And so with no further ado, I want to bring Dane on. Dane, thanks you for your your endless energy to bring this out. Let's make it, how do I say this, as plain as we can tonight for people. How serious a problem is this? Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's as serious as it gets. Can you guys hear my audio okay? I'm in a remote location. You guys got me all right?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Everyone?
Okay.
Thumbs up on everyone.
Sure I'm coming in loud and clear. Okay. It's as serious as it gets. Climate engineering, mathematically speaking, Steve, you know I've said this many times, it's the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. Why? Because climate engineering affects every bit of the Earth's life support systems, every breath we take, affects contamination of water, soils, everything. Everything we need to survive on this planet is being thwarted by the climate engineering operations. And I'm in Lake Shasta right now, by the way. I mean Mount Shasta, excuse me. taking snow sample tests off the side of Mount Shasta. And also, and this is an important aspect that I would like to cover tonight, guys, and I'll give the mic back to you in a moment, but chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. I'm also taking temperature readings on the side of Mount Shasta in the snow that's very high. It's up about 7,000 feet right now because the temperatures have been extraordinarily warm. And what's profound and what we have suspected and what we're now investigating in greater depth, a chemically ice nucleated element like the snows we have, these are patented processes where they, with chemical nucleating elements dispersed over cloud tops and incoming storm moisture, can convert that moisture from what should have been a liquid precipitation event, i.e. rain, into a frozen precipitation event. This is why we're getting the massive hailstones everywhere. We're getting snow at temperatures far above freezing. And we found what we thought we would find in our testing so far, that the snow temperatures themselves are far colder than they should be because it's a chemically nucleating element. We'll have much more research to do on this, but this is what we would have expected to find. So we have snow up on the side of Mount Shasta with temperatures, and we have photographs now of the surface temperatures and the snow temperature, but temperatures in the surface ambient air, 45 degrees, and we have snow temperatures of 18 degrees, and the temperatures have not been that cold at that elevation. So why do we have such cold frozen precipitation, chemical nucleating elements? And this is where they're engineering cool downs. This is why, guys, you've seen radical weather whiplash lately, have you not? Record heat to record cool down, back to record heat, so on?
Well, absolutely. We're seeing it all over the world, from South America to Italy to even Australia. I mean, it's a global thing, Dane. It's like they've made war on the entire planet.
But here's what's important to remember is this. The heaviest engineered part of those events is the cool down. And when there's not enough moisture for them to chemically nucleate a cool, dense layer of air at the surface to lower temperatures, the temperatures go right back up through the roof. The damage to the climate system is real, and it's ongoing. And climate engineering, I will continue to focus on as my primary goal to expose and halt climate engineering. But it's imperative to remember that the damage done is real. It's not about Al Gore. The human race has been very poor stewards of the planet, climate engineering being the greatest example of that, and these weather whiplash scenarios we are seeing are primarily a result of the climate engineers creating an engineered cool down with jet stream manipulation and chemical ice nucleation. And for listeners that are completely unfamiliar with that concept, that you can engineer a quote-unquote winter event, actually chemically nucleating what should have been rain into snow, I would challenge all the listeners to search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm. And they'll find Fox News and Popular Science even covered this, although nobody's covering it anymore because they don't want the population to understand what's going on. But by engaging in such a process, they can literally take it from 100 degrees to snow in a day. And that has happened in Amarillo, Texas, May 1st, 2013. 100 degrees on the ground, all-time record high, snowed the next day. These are not natural events. We need to understand that.
Well, I think, Dane, too, one of the things that the ladies and gentlemen on geoengineeringwatch.org that you can go to, I'm looking at the patent right now, the patent right now is U.S. patent 361-3992A and as an alpha. And Dane, they're talking about the crystallization of supercooled clouds. Now this is one of 175, but as I was Doug and Joe and listening audience researching this tonight, and I did, talk about this at length, but no one would listen. Tonight I pray that everyone listens. There is a U.S. secret patent program. Most people don't know this exists, and as for stalling patents are also giving them what's called a sensitive application warning system that has been around since March 2006. At this time it's believed there's somewhere over 6,000 patents that have in effect a national security blanket over them that you cannot reveal to the average person. Now, just so you know, that entire U.S. secret patent program was given to the Chinese by Bill Clinton. This isn't a political statement. statement. It is a statement of fact. So as Dane is on the air tonight and we're talking about this, Doug, people need to know that as I'm going to quote these different patents as Dane draws, and I'll try and do my best job to follow your train of thought with this, but the point is that it says this, that this is the abstract. The present invention provides a method for producing rain or snow from natural atmospheric clouds using seeding agents characterized by a high solubility in water and large endothermic heat of solution water. And basically, it goes on to talk about all the different things. Now, that's just one of 175. Then it goes on to talk about, too, ice nucleization or nucleization. And the thing that's important is that people understand this, that the whole aerosolization of the atmosphere, patent after patent after patent. I'll put this, Dane, up on my website so people can go and see. And ladies and gentlemen, before you dismiss this or listen to the AI bots that'll sneer, snicker, and jeer, you can do your homework and read this stuff, and I think it will be pretty sobering. And then they talk about electrical heating apparatus for generating superheated vapors, 3835293. These are all real patents, Doug. So I'll even send them to you. But the point is, from the beginning of this whole weather modification and Project Argosy and all the things that have gone on, we're talking over, at least if you go back to the original patents, you're talking stuff that was from the 20s, 1920. And so what it's a well-known fact, but the Chinese now are even openly admitting to laser modification of the atmosphere. And I think for everyone that wants to go look on my website, what if I do, Dane, tonight is put up those stories in real time. So Michio Kaku even talked about this trillion watt lasers. And basically, here's what everyone needs to know. There is no normal weather anymore on the planet. It's all manipulated. Go ahead, Dane.
Well, I certainly concur with everything you went over. And I want to state this about you, Steve, and you, Doug, and also Joe. My deepest gratitude to you guys for having the courage to address these issues head on. When so many radio show hosts, broadcasters are compelled, it seems, to toe the official narrative in order to keep their jobs, their paychecks, and their pensions, and the ship is going down by the day, all of us need to face this issue head on, and we need to hold those people accountable that are still towing the official narrative of deception. And I mean local weathercasters, weathermen, if you will, journalists, agency officials, elected officials, all of those who are willingly participating in the criminal climate engineering cover-up. And that's exactly what it is. And it's becoming almost impossible to hide this issue now. The weather disintegration is so radical, so total, and so widespread. I would argue they can't hide this much longer. That makes the power structure more dangerous than they have ever been before. And we've done a recent report, Steve.
Dan, if I can just jump in here. But just so people understand the reality of this, we were dealing with a publicist who had actually scheduled a very, very, if I said the name of the person, everyone would know it. And the publicist said, if you guys talk about weather modification, for example, like tonight, because we just had this conversation within the last 72 hours, you can cancel, you forget about ever having that guest on your show, on your platform. And that's how serious this is. So people need to understand this is a real fight. What you're talking about is a real fight. So thank you for coming on and having the courage to come on. We don't have the courage. It's you and Steve that have the courage. So go ahead, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, Doug, but I want to throw that back at you guys again, because no matter how much research I do or Steve does, without a voice, it wouldn't be heard. And at this point, to convey this to your listeners, this equation could not be more nonlinear, because we still have a population that is trying to convince themselves that any such changes are somewhere far off on the horizon, and that is not the case. The avalanche is coming down the hill right now, and we're standing in the bottom of the canyon where it's coming. And people don't really want to face the immediacy of what's unfolding. when we see ozone collapse, for example, if we had no other challenges to face except the disintegrating ozone layer, and Steve and Doug, you've both seen recent reports that state, the official narrative states, the ozone layer is recovering. Have you seen those reports, which are patently false, but have you seen those?
Absolutely.
Yep.
So that's a blatant, glaring lie, just like the blatant, glaring lie that Steve already alluded to, that we are seeing quote-unquote condensation in our skies. And think how ludicrous that lie is. When anybody with any deductive reasoning could see that you can't turn a condensation trail on and off, you can't have grid patterns one day and nothing the next, you can't have a grid pattern all day long, and then at night you come out, and we see this often. We'll see horizon-to-horizon trails during the day, you come out at night, and nothing is leaving any trail whatsoever, even though the upper atmospheric temperatures are colder with more humidity, more conducive to condensation trail, if that's what we are seeing, which we are not, and we see nothing at night so often. I'm not saying they don't spray at night. They do on certain locations on occasion. But the discrepancies we see between trails and no trails, anyone with deductive reasoning would be able to connect these dots and figure out that this is obviously not condensation. And guys, you both saw the obscene image in the sky that was just done by Navy pilots, which they admitted to. You guys saw that, right?
Yep.
Okay. Did you see that?
Yep. Yes, I did.
Okay, so obviously not condensation. This is an activatable particle dispersion. That's what we're talking about. So when we have global dimming at this point at 30%+ in places, and for those listeners who don't know what global dimming is, that's the official science term for the amount of direct solar rays that do not reach the surface of the planet anymore. It's pushing 30%. And yes, pollution is a part of that, no question. But that is the specific goal of solar radiation management. So we are so far into the curve right now and into uncharted territory, and the climate quote engineers do not have a handle on what they think they have a handle on, and that's becoming ever more evident. So at this point, we're on a runaway train. We're entering a scenario that would be most correctly categorized as an abrupt climate shift. Yes, there are many causes. We've been, again, bad stewards of the planet, but the single greatest climate disrupting factor, the intentional climate intervention programs.
And I think it's critical that people understand this right now. It doesn't matter what your age group is. It's somebody has to take the bull by the horns and literally understand what is at stake. Now, I believe, Dane, that this whole thing is a far greater, and let me define conspiracy for all those of you that use the term and have no clue what it means. A conspiracy is when two or more people agree ahead of time as to a foregone conclusion and work by their mutual efforts to bring it about. So you can even say it was a conspiracy during the Manhattan Project to create the atom bomb. Usually secrecy is involved. Now, so to conspire means to agree. So this is no longer a conspiracy theory. Let me also share one thing. Pilots know this. We have a lot of pilots, both military and civilian. On normal civilian air routes, when you're flying east to west, you're assigned an altitude by air traffic control. When you're reversing your direction west to east, you have a different altitude, so you don't have the grid pattern. Everything that you have seen in the sky, Dane's got more pictures of amazing, when I say amazing, that's not in a good way, but you can't deny, these are not contrails. You would have so many collisions unless this thing was gridded out, and they're doing it by satellites. All of their coordinates are mapped in, punched in, and by the way, the average height of these things, and I had the good the blessing of a friend of mine who has provided me to be able to ride along in this jet to be at 41,000 and 45,000 feet, and I've actually watched the lasers, those black tunneling lasers, and the electrical charge on the chemtrails, Dane, miles apart, come together. Literally watched it in real time, and it was kind of like you see an ocean or those clouds that kind of look like waves. I watched it in real time. So people who say that this isn't happening, and I don't know, Doug and Joe, if you guys have ever seen them, but sometimes you'll see perfectly linear black lines in the sky, not chemtrails, but black lines. Then if you watch those black tunneling lasers and the channel that they're creating for the ionized particulate matter, it's like a directed chemical beam. Now, we're talking about two different technologies, and Dane, you were talking about the electromagnetic stimulation of the ionosphere, the ionospheric heaters, of which HARP is just one of 72. And we're also talking about now everything has stepped up. Again, Michio Kaku is talking about trillion watt lasers. But what they're not saying is that those lasers are also in outer space. Now, this doesn't get into anything that's, quote, a conspiracy. Even Geostorm, the movie, it didn't do very well. But some of the technology on there is as real as you can get. So, ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself this. If they are openly admitting to 175, I believe it's even more open now, 200 patents that I'm putting up on my website right now that you all can go and look at, okay, then you've got to take your time. I've talked to people that have suffered from Morgellons disease, and they were told by their physicians that they're crazy. They're not crazy. They were part of an orchestrated, targeted chemtrail experiment. And so, Dane, well, we're talking about atmospherics. We're also talking about the supercharging of pathogens that have been introduced into the chemtrail poison. And one of the things that's interesting is, do you remember the reports of red blood cells and people that have actually taken the samples and put them under microscopes and scanned them, even electron microscopes? Red blood cells were in there. So I contend that the atmosphere is being turned into an auger-like suspension, A-G-A-R. That's what they, you know, use in laboratories to put different bacteria and viruses to culture. So the question is that all of these interconnections and all of these intersections are, how do I say this? In my opinion, they will begin to act beyond. They'll have unintended consequences. Now, they believe they can control the consequences, but the unintended consequences is what we are seeing now. Go ahead, sir.
I certainly don't deny that biological experimentation is ongoing, and anyone who thinks our government wouldn't do this to us has not examined history very well. I mean, we've got a little noise in the background there. We've had, I'm not sure where that's coming from. It's not from mine, guys. We have literally hundreds of documented cases in the U.S. of the U.S. government doing biological tests on U.S. populations. I want to back up and just to point something out, Steve and Doug, that I know you're certainly aware of. Isn't it interesting to you two that if the official narrative is a conspiracy theory like 9/11, the official narrative is a textbook conspiracy theory, yes? The official narrative. Excuse me. So isn't it interesting that the population is told it's okay to believe a conspiracy if it's the official narrative? And most people don't even think of the official narrative as being a conspiracy, right? A textbook conspiracy of how many Arabs, which the official story is obviously nonsense, but it's interesting that the population is so well programmed that if it's the official narrative, then the conspiracy is okay to believe in. But when we have film footage, proof, documents happening right above our heads of the kind of aerosol spraying operations going on, then the programmed Pavlov dog response of denying it is certainly well programmed also. In regard to, again, the weather modification programs themselves, for those that are again unfamiliar with this, there is no separating the fact that the climate engineering weather warfare is also biological warfare. The elements that we know are coming down, and we've tested primarily for the heavy metals and the array of heavy metals, aluminum, barium, strontium, and so forth. The fact that that's coming down in our air column and we're all breathing this, that makes this biological warfare with those elements too, right? We all agree on that.
Absolutely.
So I would ask this, for any weatherman and for those that can contact their local weathermen, their local officials and so forth, that don't acknowledge this, when you see a sky that's completely covered with the emissions from aircraft, how could that possibly not affect the weather? That doesn't take a degree in meteorology to figure out. Of course, when you block the entire sky enough to block out 80% plus of my solar power uptake, in fact, 2 days ago, even yesterday, in fact, I had an 80% reduction in my solar power uptake from strictly what the aircraft were emitting. Can you imagine how much material it takes to block out that much of the sun, every bit of which is raining down on all, every bit of which we're breathing? What I wanted to mention earlier, guys, and I'll give the mic back to you, when we look at the amount of environmental destruction happening right now, and we're on a ball of rock spinning in space with miraculous life support systems that we have all but decimated at this point, if we had no other issues besides the disintegrating ozone layer, which I mentioned earlier that the official narrative is denying, the NASA technician that we're working with, his data and other corroborating data we have, indicates on the current course with the current rate of destruction, it's so nonlinear that we are looking at total ozone layer collapse in a decade or less, likely less. If that happens, and that's the trajectory we're on, that issue by itself makes it game over, not counting anything else, and there's plenty of other things to count. That's how close our time horizon is, and that doesn't mean things go on normally for 10 years. It means that we're in dire straits right now. We're getting some readings that indicate 80% ozone diminishment right now. We're getting UVC on the surface. So what I'm saying for the listeners is pay attention to your eyesight, your senses. When you feel the sun, how hot it is on your skin, that's not your imagination, and don't disregard your own senses because the official narrative tells you to.
Well, one of the things I think is important for people to understand and really, really get it into their heads, pun intended, is the onset of dementia, Parkinson's disease, and all of the Lou Gehrig's and any of those forms of brain and let's say this neuro-attacking symptoms, and also obviously resulting in the disease. Those things went off the chart, Dane. I actually saw a chart, I can't put my finger on it right now, that when the chemtrails started in earnest, obviously, you know, aluminum, barium, strontium, the metals, there was almost an inverse proportional response with a higher level of what I would just call them brain-wasting diseases. So what else is interesting, and this is what really troubled me years ago when I brought out the story on Creutzfeldt-Jakob, it's pronounced, or it looks like Jacob, but they pronounce it Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, you know, out of the jungles of New Guinea, the cannibals would eat other vanquished foes' brains, and they would come down with a thing called Kuru, which was a spongiform encephalopathy. Now, I'm using big words for a reason. Imagine prions, which have no genetic material, being impossible to kill. Imagine that stuff being turned loose in the atmosphere. Then you tie it in with nanoparticles, and you tie it in with what I would call the nanite war against the human body. All these things work together. And Dane, one of the things that's been problematic is the Russians and Chinese have done extensive investigation in the electromagnetic attenuation of viruses and their, if you will, the ability to accelerate, literally on a mitochondrial basis, the efficacy, I'm sorry, that's a hard word tonight, the effectiveness, let's go there, of supercharging the virus of bacteria. And even if you remember, everybody, years ago, the United States was protesting to Russia that our embassy workers were coming down with diseases. So it's important to understand that just as a laser can carry communications, the high-powered lasers can do way more damage than anybody can imagine. And the story that HARP is shut down, that was just a totally bogus story. But again, Dane, people focus on one HARP transmitter, ionospheric heater, in Gakona, Alaska, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the patent number on that is 4686605. One time I was bored, Doug, Joe, and Dane, and I started trying to memorize all these things. It didn't work, but the point is I got enough of them still in my head. To tell people, it doesn't matter, well, I don't think this is true. It doesn't matter. You are going to die if you deny. I'm sorry. Well, they would never do it to us. Dane just shared the government's history of experimenting on humans, and especially on their own servicemen, is unbelievable. And for the record, I found another patent, Dane, on your list of 175. Again, ladies and gentlemen, it's up on my website, stevequayle.com. I encourage you to print it off, geoengineeringwatch.org. Print this stuff off. print it off and start reading it, and if you don't lose your breath, and if you don't basically say, why, these are evil, you know, sons of hell, and I'm trying to be nice, the point is that you're just not getting it. So if Dane, if people need to understand, I don't know that they even understand about when the ozone hole is depleted, the bombardment of cosmic rays, which is gamma radiation, produces mutagenesis. That's what's bleaching the trees. That's what's bleaching all the coral reefs around the world. Obviously, at certain waveforms or wavelengths of I would say, designated and targeted lasers, they can just about do anything. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, all the fires in California now, there are witnesses, eyewitnesses, including professional firefighters of decades, saying that people saw, and you can deny it if you want to, but they saw beams coming down. And we're not talking about aliens. We're not talking about that. We're talking about high technology absolutely being used against the peoples of the world to depopulate the world. And Dana, I just don't think people get it, that they're in the targets of this stuff. They're no longer bystanders on the bleachers watching a game play out before their eyes.
I think it's important to I agree that, you know, the amount of things being carried out are very extensive. On that point, I think it's important for people to understand the complexity of what's happening in the atmosphere, that it's not just biological experimentation, it's not just weather warfare, it's not just enhancing communications by enhancing electrical conductivity in the atmosphere. Back to the disintegrating climate system, we have feedback loops that have been triggered now. And on the ozone layer itself, to elaborate on that, although we've been told that this is the result of CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons, that's only one factor in the equation. The much larger factor with ozone destruction is climate engineering, the radio frequency microwave transmissions and the atmospheric aerosol saturation. So climate engineering should be considered mathematically the single greatest causal factor in regard to ozone destruction. So again, back to the why question, guys, if I can make this clear for Joe, Doug, and I know you guys know this, but for the listeners, and for Steve, I know your listeners probably know this as well, but just to clarify, many, many things are being carried out, many agendas. It's not just this or that. And one of the primary agendas, back to what I stated at the beginning of this program, the attempt to mask the severity of climate decimation that has already occurred by inflicting even more decimation. And this is their attempt to hide the severity of what's going on. An example I've used before, because it's parallel, is the use of Corexit in the Gulf of Mexico. For the listeners that don't know what that is, it was the use of a chemical to try to hide the severity of the oil spill by dispersing it and sinking it. But that chemical made that scenario 52 times more toxic, according to environmental impact reports. But they did it anyway to hide the problem. Same mentality with climate engineering. So when they're engineering these cool downs to confuse and divide the population in regard to the true state of climate damage, every time they engineer a cool down, it worsens the overall warming of the planet. Just like a pharmaceutical drug hides certain symptoms while making the cause itself worse. That's the mentality we have. So it's important for listeners to understand it's not just this or that, one thing or another being carried out as an agenda. It's many, there are many, many agendas. And in regard to the fires, Steve, I know that there's the potential for an ignition from the type of scenario you described. I would also encourage people to understand with those fires, we had conditions that relate directly to geoengineering in regard to the level of wind that was blowing, 60, 70 mile an hour winds, which creates a bellows effect like you have in a forge, which makes the temperatures much, much hotter. And certainly that whole scenario with the fires is very unnatural in many ways, but many of the unnatural aspects, that template was set up by climate engineering over the course of not just weeks or months, but years, because they've been drying this state out for years. And even though we got rain last winter, as Doug, Joe, and Steve, you guys know, we got rain in the West last winter, nevertheless, at the time those fires occurred, the fuel moistures were the lowest ever recorded. That's important for people to understand. The rain ended 6 months before that, the temperatures were the driest and the hottest on record. So we had many combining factors that fueled those firestorms. And again, we should not consider it a natural event because, as Steve correctly said, there is no natural weather. And in regard to the forest fires, important to remember, geoengineering, single greatest causal factor. Why? It's poisoning the soils with bioavailable aluminum in the rain. It's frying the trees from the top down. So they're dying from the bottom up and the top down. It's disrupting the hydrological cycle completely. So we have 6 months with no rain and very little humidity. We have a more electrically conductive atmosphere, which adds to more dry lightning. And we have an incendiary dust coating all the foliage. So many roads lead back to climate engineering. So many roads, including the toxification of the breathable air column, as Steve said, the radically increased Alzheimer's dementia. We have peer-reviewed study of bees with Alzheimer's and dementia now. We have peer-reviewed studies of dolphins with Alzheimer's and dementia. We have issues with whales, all peer-reviewed studies. So it's saturating the entire web of life.
Well, and Doug, this is really, how do I say this? As an investigator, you know, you had to go out, look for clues, you had to get testimony, you had to look for the testimony that, what would you say, corroborated previous testimony or negated it. All the evidence, and again, here's the problem. It's more comfortable, I understand, to deny it, but to the people that are in the midst of it, for instance, the California fires, they cannot, to them it's not an issue of denying, and to the, many of them, they wouldn't even look at geoengineering, but Dane, there were trees that were cooked on the inside and not burned on the outside. And, you know, that's how microwave energy works. And please, I'm not trying to put a spin on this, but it's just like the fires in Colorado. There were eyewitnesses that saw helicopters landing and guys getting out and torching, setting fires. Well, that's on one level. But the bigger level, which we've got to make people understand tonight, is, look, even the force of wind and the volume of water that is that's in motion, for instance, in flood areas, that can have the ability to leak down into known faults and even unknown faults and lubricate and not only cause, floods, but it also, there's a lot of papers and genuine research papers done on flood water and the weight of flood water causing earthquakes. So, you know, I forget who it is. Somebody made this statement, he who controls the weather controls the world. You know, Henry Kissinger's famous one about, you know, he who controls food. It's beyond that. The food production, and this is what people have got to understand. The Dust Bowl, did you see the article? I may have sent it to you, that they're claiming a Dust Bowl is headed for the Midwest again, equal to Oklahoma, that's expected to last for 35 years.
And have we not seen this in the past? I'm just curious, but not...
Yes.
Okay, all right. Right.
But not on the great Dust Bowl days. So what's tragic is that the temperatures, and by the way, this is something that I think people really need to understand, and these patents go into great detail. They can, you know, and lasers can be used to superheat, and they can also be used to supercool. And I'm talking super cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons why you see the Arctic and the Antarctic having issues is not just because of the volcanism, which is very real, but all of these electromagnetic pulses that are being beamed around the world. And Dane, one of my concerns has always been, 20 years ago, I said, what happens when all these things intersect, meaning all these beam angles intersect, and then they become reflected off the ionosphere? What is going to be, the outcome? And I think we're seeing the outcome. Do you want to deal, if you would, just address the intersecting beam angles of the electromagnetic weaponry that's being used in the electromagnetic warfare?
First, let me back up, and I have a couple questions. First, I have a couple questions for, or a question for Doug and Joe as well. Let me get to one point here first. On the atmospheric heating, of course, when we're moving particles around, when you're using microwave, you're getting a lot of background noise. You guys getting that too?
I don't know where that's coming from. I can hear it, but
no,
we can work through it. Yeah, our end is quiet, so.
the obviously when you're microwaving the atmosphere, as Steve correctly stated, obviously you're going to generate additional heat. It's also important for people to understand and remember, though, we survive on this ball of rock spinning in space because it has an atmosphere that traps a certain specific amount of heat here. When you alter the energy balance of the planet, whatever the source that alters it should be considered a form of geoengineering. Anything that alters the energy balance, all forms of human activity that affect the energy balance alter the amount of heat that will be trapped here, including everything Steve just stated. And when a report, as Steve stated, states something will happen in 35 years, don't let that pacify you, because we do not have 35 years. I want to make that absolutely crystal clear. On the current course, without a complete alteration of that course, none of us will be here in 35 years. None of us. Likely none of us in 25 or 20 or 15. 10 years is the time horizon right now at the current nonlinear trajectory if we do not change courses, in which it is likely human extinction may occur. And I'm not the only one to state that. There are a few other frontline researchers that are stating exactly the same. That's a mathematical equation. It's not an opinion. We've already lost 60% of Earth's wildlife populations in the last 40 years. We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect to extinction every single day. We've reported at Geoengineering Watch for several years that we've seen a 90% decline in aquatic and terrestrial insects in Northern California, and we finally had corroboration of that from German researchers who stated 80% of their insects have declined there. If the insects don't make it, we're not going to make it, and the insects are completely, completely imploding. So the bottom line is, for anybody who looks at a study that says such and such will happen in 2050 or 2060 or whenever it states, that is a completely fictitious report, because in the current trajectory, we won't be here. Steve, or Joe and Doug, my question for you, from the Christian community, what I hope for is that the congregations will begin to hold their pastors accountable, to force them to face this issue. Because what we are seeing now across the board, and this is no reflection on Christianity, none at all, it's simply a reflection of pastors who are not willing to live up to Scripture, that they are not addressing this issue because they're afraid of losing their 501c3s. Have you guys, Doug and Joe, have you seen this sort of willingness to hide from the truth from certain pulpits?
Every day, every place, just about everyone. I don't want to lump everyone into it, but Dane, you know, we are not able to convince 501c3 pastors, the majority of them, to speak out against perversion, you know, sexual perversion, some of the hot social topics, or condemnation, for example, of Chrislam. So, to me, and Steve, I don't know what your thoughts on this, but to me...
I think here's the thing, Dane. I'll tell you this. In my opinion, and I think I'm realistic, I'd say 95% of that which professes to be Christian has no relationship to historic Christianity. Obviously, Christians were involved in their community. Jesus made this statement, and I don't think most Christian pastors even listen to him, is the fact that if the days weren't shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. My own accelerated time reference, just for your, we haven't talked about this, but I don't see how this thing, outside of miracles, and miracles happen when people move and move in faith. And I want to share something, ladies and gentlemen. When you make something your passion, as Dane has, and this isn't a mutual admiration society, one man can change the world, but he needs your help. He needs to be able to impart everything that he has learned. I mean, the guy's up on Mount Shasta measuring snow temperatures. I mean, and I can tell you this, he doesn't sit on his keyboard and he goes out. And so the idea that we have 25, 35 years, Dane, from my mouth to your ear, I want to share something. I believe at the accelerated rate of the technology, especially, meaning S-P-A-C-E, and the weapons platforms that I am aware of by those people who have been on those platforms and have manned those, they basically are saying, we don't even know. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a story. This illustrates your, an answer to your question. I talked to a friend of mine who's a source of great information. He said some of the generals who are loyal Americans are dismayed at the rapid breakdown of what's going on, not only in the atmosphere, but on the political scene and everything. And see, I don't think people get it. If the, if everything is destroyed, they're not going to eat, unless, of course, everything that everyone's alive turns into Soylent Green at some point. But it's really, it's even shocking. So let me say this, and I want everybody to know this. I'm on record as saying it's not 35, it's not 25 years. At the rate of acceleration of the technology and the given and stated goals of the globalists to decrease the world's population by 90%, I believe, Dane, that ultimately, all of the chemtrails, all the geoengineering, all of that combined will produce basically a catastrophic extinction-level event that'll take place in three phases. Number one, when they kick it into high gear, and it is my contention that's being kicked into high gear now, okay? The back-to-back hurricanes, all of the situation with the oceans, the krill, the plankton, the lowest rung on the food ladder, the, if you will, and this is something that the dumb scientists, or at least they're not dumb, but they're scared to death, ladies and gentlemen, some of the whales and some of the mammals, the porpoises, the dolphins, the whales, the sharks, all of those issues are, all those species are showing up with basically tumors, and they're not just because of what's in the water. They're being scorched. They're being bleached. And even the things that are in the water, you know, it's a negative, it's a perfect balance of pH and alkalinity. And even that's changing, Dane, because as you know, all of this chemtrail, these components, they precipitate out and they end up in the water. They end up in the ocean. And then it turns into, I would say, a cycle of unintended consequences, only unintended from the standpoint these guys knew what they were trying to do, but what they can't factor in are the unknowns. And now the unknowns are kicking in. So I don't mean to sound like I'm trying to skirt any issues, but I believe we have less than 7 years.
Can I just ask a question to either one of you? This is one of the biggest questions I get from emails after shows like this. The question is this: how do the elites, if you will, expect to survive when others won't, given that we all live on the same planet? If they know about this, or are they just so full of themselves that they don't care?
Well, number one, they have underground bases that are beyond most people's idea of even what an underground base is. We're talking about bases, for instance, like the Russian Yamanotu Mountain, where you fly airplanes in it. So we're not talking about, you know, tunnels where you crawl on your belly. But haven't you seen, Doug, Dane, and Joe, all the stories of the billionaires' bunkers and the guys headed to New Zealand? And kind of like the old 60s movie, On the Beach. That was the place that everybody wanted to head to, into the southern hemisphere, to avoid the nuclear radiation in the northern hemisphere after a nuclear war.
Yeah, the question I asked was for the benefit of not receiving, you know, the 1,000 emails of that question. So, but thanks for explaining that. So they've made preparations, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. They have made preparations, and they are, interestingly enough, all the mega yacht guys are sailing or powering into New Zealand. They're headed into the South Pacific. They're headed to places in the Ural Mountains. They're headed to some of the most remote parts of the world. So they know what's coming, and guess what? Anything they generate in the way of a biological or a viral pathogen, they already have the antigens for, or the solutions for. So the point is that anything that they plan, they always seem to think that they can escape it. That is my answer, Dane. Care to comment?
I wouldn't dispute anything you stated. Certainly we know the DUMs exist. The deep underground military bases exist. They're being stocked up. We know this. We checked with some of the largest freeze-dried food suppliers on the planet that were off retail for a time because they told us themselves they were stocking up these bunkers. So these bunkers do exist. On the 7-year time frame, and I wouldn't argue with that, Steve, the one thing I would add to it is to understand for those listening that doesn't mean life goes along like it is. And I know you didn't mean this. I'm just clarifying it for the listeners. It doesn't mean that things stay business as usual 7 years. Things are already right now at the point where the power structure is so pressured and so panicked that they could overturn our reality tomorrow. They could alter the mix in the aerosol spray dispersions. And for people to call it that too, to use engineered trail, particulate trail, something that is a scientific-based term, keeps us from being marginalized. And you guys know that I avoid the chemtrail term for that reason, not amongst personal conversations, but when you're dealing with journalists and so forth. But if they altered the mix in those particulate dispersions tomorrow, we would all be done that fast if they chose to. And they may be that desperate right now. In regard to the bunkers and how long they can live there, and then to answer the other question as to why, on the current trajectory, we are on a path of what is termed Venus syndrome. And again, this is not about Mr. Gore or carbon credit shams. It's about reality. It's about the damage that's been done. It's about the feedback loops that have been triggered, including massive methane releases that are happening in the Arctic right now. If this current trajectory continues, they will not live for long in those bunkers, because this planet will resemble Venus in the geologic blink of an eye. And for those who think that Venus is 900 degrees on the ground because its proximity to the sun, that is not the case. All things being equal, Venus would be 20 degrees warmer than Earth. That's not much. And based on the data we have right now, we believe we are already past 3.5 degrees C of warming right now. We are pilots. I communicate directly with private Learjet pilots and commercial pilots that are telling me the only thing they are seeing in altitude is positive temperatures temperature anomalies, far above normal temperatures. So the only place we see any cool downs, based on the processes I already outlined, is on the surface, shallow layers of chemical ice nucleated cool down zones that are keeping the severity of climate damage hidden at the cost of making it worse. And back to the why part, answering the why. Why would they this to themselves?
Dane, yep. I'm sorry. Dane, we are up against the break. I don't mean to cut you off, but this is we'll stop right in between there. We are talking with Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org. Make sure you check and bookmark both of those sites, as Steve has some of the top news and information and alerts on his site on a daily basis. And Dane keeps track. There's so much research on geoengineeringwatch.org. You could read for days on there. Bookmark both those sites. We'll be right back with both gentlemen on the other side. Don't go anywhere.